This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
I want to teach you about how to catch a monkey. So in southern India, and I don't know whether they still do it, but they had an issue with, you know, those little cute little monkeys? You know, the little cute ones that come and sit on your shoulders and they're really sweet and everyone wants to own a monkey as a pet, right? Those little monkeys. Well, they were a real problem and they were coming in and they were stealing the crops of the villagers and they were just wreaking havoc. And you have you ever tried to catch a monkey? I can't say I've ever tried to catch a monkey. But this is what they did. There's various methods, but this one I know. They'd get a coconut, they'd hollow out the coconut, they'd drill a little hole in it, just big enough for a little monkey hand, and they'd put some sweet rice in there, and they'd attach it to a stake with a chain on it, and they'd just leave it there. And the little monkey, that cheeky little thing, he'd come up and he'd put his hand in the hole and he'd grab hold of the rice and he couldn't get out. And he was trapped. And he would stay like that until the hunter or the villagers, whoever came, would come and capture him. And he would just stay there because he wouldn't let go. If he let go, he could be free. What a silly monkey. We'd never get caught like that, would we? No silly monkeys here. We would never be caught like that. You know where I'm going. You can see that. That monkey, the prize that he captured, that he thought he had, was far greater than his freedom. And so because of his unwillingness to let go, he was free. He was free. He could go at any moment. But because of his unwillingness to let go of what he thought was so important, he was captured. The Bible puts it this way. If you've got your Bibles, have a look at Hebrews 12. And we're going to start at verse 1. Just we're going to read a couple of verses, 1 and 2. So Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 2. Therefore, it's you and I today, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let us let go. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us or traps us. You and I today, if you're in relationship with God, if you're a believer, you have been set free. We sang about it this morning. You are free. Bev read from Romans this morning. She taught us about guilt and that we've all fallen short, but the price has been paid and you've been set free. Romans 8 verses 1 to 4 says this. Therefore, now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus this morning? There is no condemnation. Do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. Has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, and the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You and I have been set free. So, my question to you today is, why does it so often feel like we're still bound, still trapped, still battling the same issues? I asked myself this question this week. I was journaling and I was looking back. I've shared this with you before. I often look back and see, you know, where was I this time last year? Where was I this time 5 years ago? And sometimes I'm encouraged, and sometimes, which is what happened to me recently, it was, really? You're still doing that. You're still going through that same thing. I'm talking to myself. I thought you'd be over this. When are you ever going to get it together? Why can't I be free from this? And I really felt like the Holy Spirit just speak to my heart and say, Karen, you are free. You've been set free, but you're making choices that are keeping you bound. You're making the choices that are keeping you bound. Why are we still battling the same issues? Because we're just like little monkeys. We've got our hand caught in the trap and we won't let go. Refusing to release or to let go of the things that are keeping us in bondage, we hold on to that prize, forgetting the prize. So that's what I want us to think about today. That's what I want you to consider in your heart today. What is it that you haven't been able to let go of? What are some of the things generally that people refuse to let go of? It can be so many things. Things that came to my mind pretty quickly were fear, pride, anxious thoughts, money, relationships, control, emotions, past hurts, offences. They can be good things. Sometimes we hold on to good things, good past experiences, but they keep us trapped in the past of where God was and not where he is now or where he's taking us to. But we often refuse to let go of control. We want God to be God when we're in trouble. But when we're doing okay, we'll take it from here, God. Then when I get in trouble again, we refuse offences, our offences, other people's offences. Offence is a trap that the enemy uses to divide the church of God. It's a trap, our offences. Hurts, money is a good indication of where our heart is. Pride, the fact that we think we can do it ourselves. Fear. And I know that sometimes it can feel like I can't help those things. I can't help being afraid. I can't help being hurt. I have a right. I have a right to be hurt. That person really hurt me. That thing that happened really hurt me. I'm offended. That person, what they said to me was actually uncalled for. And I was in the right. And I've got a right to hold on to that. Well, yes, you do have a right to hold on to it. Go for it, little monkey. You've got every right. But what you don't have a right to do is to blame God for where you're at right now. When he has paid, Jesus is not coming, he is coming back, but he's not coming back on a donkey. The next time he comes back, he's riding a white horse and he's coming in glory. Sometimes we hold on to things because they comfort us. And we don't realize it. It seems absurd, doesn't it, that I'm not hanging on to pain. How can I feel comfort by pain? How can I feel comfort by my emotions or my feelings being hurt or by being offended? Because we're humans and that's what we do. What we know, we'd rather go back and be comfortable with what we know than step into a new thing and a new place of freedom that God has for us. Think about the children of Israel. 400 years. They were in bondage. 400 years they were slaves. Generation after generation after generation. And it was severe. They were hungry. They were thirsty. They were tired. They were beaten. They were being mistreated and abused. And they were slaves. And God set them free. And do you know how long it took them to want to go back? 5 days, not even, till they start. They were all laughing and clapping and Miriam was playing her timbrel and they were singing and dancing until about day 5 when they said, what, let's go back. It was much better back there. At least we had onions back there and garlic and, I don't know, turnips and all those Brussels sprouts. Did they have Brussels sprouts in Egypt? That's my yuck. But we do that. They were held in bondage for 400 years and God miraculously frees them. And not only frees them, their captors give them all their wealth, all their gold, all their possessions. Go, take our stuff. They were rich. They had everything they needed. God was with them. They were free. 5 days. I want to go back. It was much better back there. We do that. We do that with our hurt. We do that with our emotions, with our offense, whatever the thing is that you're holding on to, but that's mine. And it brings me comfort because it's what I know. God doesn't want that for us, church. That's what Satan wants for us. We have a real enemy, as I know that you're aware, and he's out to trap us, and he is strategic, and he is cunning. And we first see it in Eden. The very first book of the Bible, the very first time we hear about Satan. And what's he doing? He comes to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve in the garden, perfect, perfect. And God says, you can have it all, everything. Just don't eat the fruit of this one tree. And then here comes Satan. Says, you want that fruit. Who said you can't have that fruit? Did he really say that? That fruit. And what did they do, the little monkeys? They put their hand in the trap, they grabbed hold of the fruit and they held on to that, and because of that they forfeited their freedom. We see it again. He tries it with Jesus, the Son of God, in the wilderness. And he comes to Jesus, and you can read it about it in Matthew 4, verse 8. And it says again, the devil took him up, Jesus, on an exceedingly high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all of these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. But Jesus replied with the word of God. He wasn't trapped. But here is Satan's MO. It's his way of doing things, and he will try it with you and he tries it with me. Just have this. It's far better. It's far better. All of the things that we're trapped by are things that God talks to us about in his word. What does his word say about fear? What is it? He talks to us about fear. Fear not. How many times does it say fear not? I think it's like 365. Or something like that in the news. Fear not. What does he say about pride? What does he say about our anxious thoughts? He talks about our money, our relationships, our emotions. He talks about past hurt. And he tells us what to do with them. He tells us how to get out of the trap. So we all know that we've been trapped at one point or another. And you might be trapped right now. There might be something that's trapping you right now, or some things that are trapping you. So how do we let it go? It's okay to know that we have to let it go, but what do I do about that? How do I let it go? The easiest way to let go of something is to pick up something else. If I've got my glasses in my hand, the easiest way for me to pick up that bit of paper is to put the glasses down and pick up the bit of paper. The easiest way to let something go is to pick up something else instead. So listen to how Paul explained this principle to the churches in Galatia. He said, walk in the Spirit, and then you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not know the things that you wish. You do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. If you are walking in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Those little things that the enemy sets in that trap are the lusts of the flesh. And if we're walking in the Spirit, Stuart Grimmens, a lot of you will have read the book Spirit-Led Life, I think it's called, that Stuart Grimmens wrote. And he says, if you're doing the do's, you won't do the don'ts. So just do the do's. Got it? Do the do's. That's what you have to remember. We sometimes worry so much about, I mustn't do this, I mustn't do that, I mustn't say that, I mustn't behave like that, don't do that, don't do that. And if we would just do what the Lord asks us to do, we automatically won't be doing what we shouldn't be doing. That's how we let go. Pick something else up. Pick up walking in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. How else can we let it go? I've got something in my hand. I can't let it go. Open your hand. To me, that says worship. Worship God. Surrender. It says surrender. I surrender, God. I surrender. I give up. You need to give it up. Give it up. Surrender. Show God your open hands. Show God your surrender. Say, at least that's a willingness, God, I'm willing to let it go. I see that I've been trapped. I'm willing to let it go. Now you show me how. Show me the steps to take. I surrender. I give up. I can't do it. And he will show you by his Spirit how to let go of whatever it is that you have your hands so tightly clasped around. How do we let them go? Grace. Grace is one of those present continuous tense words. You know, it's like we're saved. We have been saved. We are being saved. We will be saved. Grace is the same. God has poured out his grace. He pours out his grace. He continues to pour out his grace. We have been saved from so much. We shared it in communion this morning. We can let go because of grace. We can let go because we were given what we didn't deserve. Freedom by his death on the cross. Mercy. We didn't get what we did deserve. Grace. We can let go because of grace. So how do we let go? Because I've let go of things before, but then I go and pick them up again. Oh, where's that thing? Where's that thing gone that I let go of? I need it back. How do we let go and not pick it up again? This is a really hard word, so I want you to be ready for it. Are you ready? Discipline. There's no other way around it, church. In a society and in a time of life where it feels like everything should come easy to us and it should be just given to us, the Bible says an awful lot about discipline. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27, and this I'm going to read from the New Living. Don't you realize that in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it, so we discipline ourselves for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete training to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I might myself be disqualified. We need to discipline. How often are you going to need to discipline yourself? Every day. For how long? Till Jesus comes again. Discipline. Discipline your body, discipline your mind, discipline your emotions, discipline our will. You know, what you think, where your mind is, there your heart will be. We need to discipline our body. Let me read to you let me read Colossians. You can write this down and look at it at home. Colossians 3, 1 to 10. I'm going to read it out of the Message Bible because I just like, you know, this the very simplistic way it puts it. So if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, anybody serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though it's invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. He is your life. When Christ, your real life, remember, shows up again on this earth, you'll show up too. The real you, the glorious you. Meanwhile, be content with obscurity like Christ. And that means killing off everything connected with the way of death. Sexual promiscuity, impurity, lust, doing whatever you feel like whenever you feel like it, and grabbing whatever attracts your fancy. That's a life shaped by things and feelings instead of by God. It's because of this kind of thing that God is about to explode in anger. It wasn't long ago that you were doing all that stuff and not knowing any better, but you know better now. We know better now, church. Make sure it's all gone for good. Bad temper, irritability, meanness, profanity, dirty talk, don't lie to one another. You've done that with the old life. It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes that you've stripped off and put in the fire. Now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. Every item of your new way of life is custom made by the Creator with His label on it. All the old fashions are now obsolete. We allow the Word of God to renew our minds. The choice is ours. We are free. So we have a responsibility to put away with those things. Galatians 5:1 says, "So Christ has truly set us free. So make sure that you stay free. And don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. It's our responsibility to stay free." How do we let go and not pick them up again? We need to be aware. Be aware of the enemy. Be aware of your enemy. Be aware of his devices, his schemes, his plots, his traps. And the Bible tells us that we are aware. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, "We are not ignorant of his devices." And if you read that passage at home, 2 Corinthians 2, it's all about forgiveness. And the writer is saying forgiveness is important. And then right at the end of it, and he's talking about in that passage forgiveness in the church, forgiving each other, forgiving your brother in the church. And then right at the end, he says, because we're not, we know what he's up to. We're not little monkeys. We're born again, spirit-filled believers. Freedom is ours, for our Saviour reigns. Victory is ours, for our Saviour reigns. I want to read a bit more scripture. Hebrews 12:1-2 says this. We read it before. I'm just going to reread it. It's what I started with. "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, church, let us lay aside every weight." And when he talks about weight here, because the next bit says, "and the sin." So there's a difference between weight and sin. Sometimes we can be carrying, they're not necessarily sinful things. But if God tells you, if it's getting in your way of your relationship with him, it's got to go. And it might be that your brother and sister in the Lord are able to do that thing, whatever it is. But you can't, because it's a weight for you. And that's where an individual relationship with the Lord is so important. What is it, God? You know, some people, I'm trying to think of an example. You know, it might be a friendship. It might be a friendship. It might be a job. Some people can do certain jobs. That's okay. God knows them and they can do that. Other people shouldn't do that. It can be a weight that will get in the way and get in the way of their relationship with God. So there's weight that holds us down, and there are sins that so easily ensnare us. Let us run with endurance. So how long is it going to take? Forever. It's going to take till he comes back again. So we need endurance. Let's run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is sitting down. And the next time he gets up out of that seat, he's getting his horse and he's coming back. And if you remember a couple of weeks ago, Bruce had a word from the Lord that he saw Jesus on a chair, right, with his hands on the arms. You know, when you get ready to push yourself up out of a chair, he's ready, church. He's getting ready to get up out of that chair. getting ready to stand up. He's getting ready to return. The time is short. And so we, let's not have walked our whole Christian life faithful and find the moment that he's getting ready to stand up that we're caught with our hand in a coconut full of rice. And we'll let go of that prize. We've got to, it says, he who endures to the end. Not he who endured the first quarter and then flaked it. He doesn't say about when you started, but he talks about when you finish and how you finish. He who endures to the end. But Jesus, I made it 99.1% of the way. I just gave up right at the end. Let's endure to the end. The writer of Hebrews tells us that this is something that all believers need to be aware of. This is for us in the house church. This is for you, a born-again believer. It's not for those outside who don't know him yet. This is for you today, that we need to be careful of sin and weight that traps us. It can happen easily before we even know it, before we realized it. We've picked up something that we shouldn't have and we hang on to it. We refuse to let it go, and before we know it, we're trapped. The choice is always ours to make. Make the choice today. Whatever it is that the Holy Spirit's talking to you about right now, whatever the things, there may be a list, but that's okay. Let them go. Open your hand. Let it go. Pick up walking in the Spirit. Surrender. Open your hands to the Lord. Let go of the hurt. Let go of the fear, the pride, the anxious thoughts. Let go of the money. It's his anyway. Let go of the relationship. You can have no better relationship than with him. Let go of control. Let go of offense. Surrender your emotions to him. Make your choice today. Make your choice today. You can press on towards the prize, or you can hold on to those things and stay trapped. Stay trapped. Let me finish with this. Let me finish with Deuteronomy 30. This is how God puts it, and there's no better way. Deuteronomy 30, 11 to 20 says this. This command I'm giving you today is not too difficult for you, and it's not beyond your reach. That's what God says to you. This thing that I'm about to tell you, it's not too difficult for you. You can do it. It's not beyond your reach. It's not kept in heaven, so distant that you must ask, who will go up to heaven and bring it down so that I can hear about it and obey? It's not kept beyond the sea, so far away, so that you must ask, who will cross the sea to bring it to us so we can hear it and obey? No, the message is very close at hand. It's on your lips. And it's in your heart so that you can obey it. You don't have to rely on me. You don't have to rely on Bruce, the pastor, or any of the elders, or your Bible study teacher, or your best friend to tell you. It's not too hard for you. It's not beyond your reach. God wants you. It's on your lips. It's in your heart today. The message is very close at hand. Now listen. Listen, church, today I'm giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. For I command you this day to love the Lord your God and keep his commands, decrees and regulations by walking in his ways. Pick up the walk of the Spirit. If you do this, you will live and multiply, and the Lord God will bless you in the land you are about to enter and to occupy. But, those little words in the Bible, if your heart turns away and you refuse to listen, and if you are drawn away to serve and worship other gods, if you're drawn away by that little coconut filled with sweet rice, then I warn you now, that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live a long, good life in the land you were crossing the Jordan to occupy. Today, I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessing and curses. Now, I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice that you make. Each of you today, individually, need to make a choice. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. If anyone ever asks you the meaning of life, this is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land the Lord swore to give you, your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God is a God who is a good father. And he's giving you a choice. You know this is one of my favorite parts of scripture. His life, his death, his life. Here's the answer. It's not too far away for you. It's not too hard for you to understand. Here's the answer. It's an open book test. Choose life. Choose to let go of whatever it is that's keeping you bound. This world needs to see the power of God. This world needs to see Christians fully awake, equipped, going out, picking up hitchhikers, bringing people into our homes, witnessing, telling people our stories, whatever it is for you that God's putting on your heart to do, if you'll let go of whatever it is that's keeping you bound, then the world will see the glory of God. Then Mombok will be saved. Let's pray. Father, you are a good, good father. You know what we need before we even do. And it's you that opens our eyes. By your grace and your mercy, you open our eyes to see the traps that our enemy sets before us. And he is cunning and he is sneaky, but he is not greater than you. And you have equipped us with every, you have given us everything that we need to live a life that is godly and pleasing to you, to live a life that honors you in all we do, to live a life that brings glory to your name. We will thank you by living our lives as we should, free. Free from bondage, free from fear, free from hurt, free from past offenses, free from our emotions just running all over us. You are a good father and we love you. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters. I pray for each one today, for anyone here today who has felt you stirring their heart about something that they've been holding on to or something that they've even let go in the past and they've gone back and picked it up again. I pray by your Holy Spirit, you will show each one of us how to truly let go of those things and how to run for the prize, the eternal prize. Thank you, Father. We desire to see our community saved. We desire to see our loved ones saved. And we desire to be that good, true witness to what you've done in our lives, Father. Be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, church. I encourage you this week to find someone, to get alongside them, to have a conversation with them, to go and even confess to them, you know what? I've been trapped. I didn't even know it, but I've been trapped and I just want to share it with you so that I'm accountable to someone. So that if they, you know, that's the best thing. Then your friend can say to you, I think you've got your hand in that coconut again. We need each other to keep each other accountable, to get it out of our mouths, to confess our sins and where we've been trapped to each other so that we can spur each other on and encourage each other. So that's my encouragement to you this week. Find that person, one or two people that you can get with and just share those things with and encourage each other and press on for the prize. Amen? Amen.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombok Christian Fellowship.